busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, and rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free.
Janice, Bobby McGee. Jason's classic cut on a Tuesday, 10:07. Okay, you can't sugarcoat this. It was a miserable Wisconsin sports weekend. There's really no way to say it any other way. The Badgers held a lead for most of the game against LSU and then collapsed in the fourth and lost. Now, they could still end up winning the Big Ten. All could be well there. But the problem in college football in terms of rankings and such, every game is so important. It'll be interesting to see. I went to bed. I actually didn't see. I had a feeling they were going to piddle it away. I just did. And they did, so I don't know if they did stop feeding the ball to Gordon or what was going on. I don't know. The Brewers looked horrifically, frighteningly bad. We had talked about whether or not they would be in first place as of September 1st. Well, yes and no. They were early in the day, but not by the end of the day. So they are one game out of first place. It's a little frightening here. It's bad enough to, I mean, they just got destroyed by the Giants. Routed twice, big, lopsided losses. And then lose 4-2 yesterday to the Cubs, which I know they can do that to you. What's scary, though, is the Brewers typically have a strong late season push, and they're looking just the opposite right now. You would hope they could get back to even before the Cubs series is done, and then the Cardinals come here, I believe. Yeah, the Cardinals are at Miller, here being Wisconsin, Miller Park. I still think it's going to be an exciting September, and not panic, but boy, you got to be nervous. They just appear to be in a free fall. They've lost 6 in a row, 8 of their last 10. They are capable of doing that. They're capable of turning it around, too. But time is running short. You don't have a lot of time left to be doing that sort of thing. September 1st is what it is, and as of yesterday, September 1st, they were a game back. First time since April 5th. That was the first time since April 5th they weren't in first place, in at least a tied situation, I believe, in the NL Central. Just unbelievable. Touched on it earlier, the big sporting news over the weekend was Michael Sam is no longer a St. Louis Ram. He was cut where an undrafted free agent made a spot on the defensive line. Rams coach Jeff Fisher insists that he can play in the NFL and that he's not a distraction. It's very simple. If teams believe that, somebody will sign Michael Sam. If they don't believe that, they won't sign him. Now, I will say this. It is highly unusual for the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, a former SEC Defensive Player of the Year, not to make it in the NFL. But he, in a very competitive defensive line situation, by the way, that's what all of his defenders are saying. Well, that was a tough place to make the defensive line. That doesn't mean anything, which may be true. Yeah, he could always try the CFL. The Montreal Alouettes own his CFL rights, Canadian Football League. He's probably built a little better for that league. You want a guy more mobile, although he didn't, his mobility didn't even look good in the combine. They've got that wide, long field. He's another guy drafted late in the draft that didn't make it. That's what he is. If he has the ability to play in the NFL, somebody is going to sign him. I joked earlier it'd be hysterical were it the Washington Redskins. They're the team lefties love to hate right now. And Michael Sam is the NFL player they love to love. What would they think? What would they think if the Redskins signed him? What would they... Wow, you... No, you have... In good conscience, you can't play for that team. What if the 49ers sign him with all their defensive issues? If he can play in this league, they're going to look at what he did with the Rams, and if they think he's worth putting on a practice squad or what have you, they'll do that. If I thought... The Packers thought that he would make the Packers defense better, I would say sign him. If you think he's going to make your football team better, sign him. But I'll be honest, if you think that's going to be a distraction and that it would be more trouble than it's worth, then don't sign him. But I would have to say that the evidence in St. Louis is that that wasn't the case. I thought he kept a relatively low profile. St. Louis is going to be an extremely difficult place to make the defensive line. If the Packers had an interest and they thought that he would fit on the team, I'm talking as a football player and nothing else, then they should look at him. I don't think that's the case. But if they did, they should look at him. Would he fit in here in Green Bay? I don't think, look, I sincerely believe this. If the guy made the Packers defense better, I don't think anybody was going to care about his personal life. I know I wouldn't. Early on, I thought he wasn't going to make it in the NFL because that didn't seem to be his priority. Advancing the gay rights movement seemed to be his priority. But I would argue that in training camp, he did seem to settle down and concentrate on football, but that may have been too late. I don't know. He had respectable preseason numbers. He led in the final preseason game, he led the team in tackles. But, you know, you're playing, it's backups against backups, and it's a very difficult measure. I think he had 6 tackles in that last game. I wouldn't predict. I'm not going to predict whether or not he signs on with an NFL team. I have no idea. I know this. If they think he's going to make the team better, yeah, injuries happen, that sort of thing. Teams think that he can be a contributing player, they'll sign him. And I don't think it's going to be, I don't think his sexuality is going to be held against him. Or his homosexuality. I don't think it is. Okay. Republicans are piling on Mary Burke. Yesterday, Barack Obama appeared at a Labor Day rally, and it was a Labor Day rally, a union. Labor Fest is a union event. It's a pro-labor rally in Milwaukee. President Obama has been there before. President Obama was there yesterday. Mary Burke was there yesterday. Mary Burke met privately, we are told, with President Obama. She did not appear with him publicly. The excuse that she gave was that since this is an official White House appearance, Burke's campaign said she would not appear publicly with the president at Labor Fest. But Obama will campaign for her later in the fall. Republicans weren't biting on this at all. What they said is, look, he's toxic. Democrats don't want him campaigning for them. She knew she had to attend this event. He was attending this event. She did everything in her power to make sure they didn't appear together. They offer as Exhibit A of that, Joe Fadness, executive director of the Wisconsin GOP, pointed out that at an earlier Labor Day rally in Detroit, the Democratic candidate for governor of Michigan, Mark Schauer, appeared with Vice President Joe Biden. And that was billed as an official event. So are there different rules for the vice president versus the president? Of course not. This is a crock. Mary Burke sees no political value in appearing with President Obama in public. Now, here's a question. Okay, I understand why. He's underwater pretty much everywhere in the polls. Americans are in a freakout mode over his foreign policy. And she didn't see an upside to it. Yet he got the crowd going at Labor Fest. First, do we believe her story? I do not. I believe she did not want to be seen with him. Two, was she right about that? Again, I don't know. Probably. Although I sometimes wonder, because lefties forgive almost everything. I don't know. It was probably the right move. He did all the usual stuff. He called for a minimum wage hike to 10-10, give America a raise, blah, blah, blah. Yes, the people of America should give America a raise, not the people who employ the people of America and know how much a job's intrinsic value is, what it should pay, what it's worth to the bottom line, and all of that. That's not what should decide that. Congress should decide that. So, I think it's clear she wanted nothing to do with him. Now, she claims that he will come and campaign. How did they say this here? But Obama will campaign for her later in the fall. What doesn't that say? It doesn't say if she will be with him. Is she willing to let him come and campaign and still not go anywhere near him? Or would that just look stupid? That he's campaigning on her behalf in Wisconsin, and she doesn't want to go anywhere near it. Speaking of stupid, PolitiFact Wisconsin. There are competing claims being made by Burke and Governor Scott Walker. Not really, though. Not really. They are presented by PolitiFact as competing claims. Mary Burke says Wisconsin is dead last in the Midwest in job creation. Scott Walker says Wisconsin is third in the Midwest in job creation. Well, somebody must be wrong, right? They can't both be right. We can't be both last and third, can we? Well, in fact, we can. Mary Burke is referring to numbers that stop at the beginning of 2014. Scott Walker is referring to 2014. In 2014, through the end of July, the first 7 months, Wisconsin is ranked third. The numbers she touts for the rest of his administration are accurate. So they're not conflicting. They're both accurate. Scott Walker, for obvious reasons, wants to use just the 2014 numbers. Mary Burke, for obvious reasons, wants to use just the numbers up to 2014. Why? Because each has those numbers play to each candidate's advantage. So they do two separate truthometers. They should just say true, right? Both should be true, right? I mean, there's really no other way to rate this, is there? Then they are both true. Of course they figured out a way to squirm on this. They give Burke a true. They give Scott Walker a mostly true. As in mostly full of crap. As in mostly nauseating. As in mostly predictable. As in mostly transparent in the worst way possible. So they go through all of this and they say, well, yeah. Burke's right and Walker's right. So why then, if they concede both are right, why does he just get a mostly true where she gets a true? Well, the numbers check out, but by using raw numbers to measure the increase instead of percentage-based approach that levels the playing field, he gives Wisconsin and himself a bit of a boost. The numbers are accurate. They looked for some way where they couldn't give them both the mostly true. The other thing they don't touch, these numbers are coming around now as we get further away from the rancor, the chaos, and the recalls that the left created. Those are the things, not Walker policies, that have held job growth down. It's 10:22.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.